today we're going to talk about forgiveness. And so I was thinking about, like, man, my sermon today is not very Christmassy. And so I decided that I was going to decorate the front page so it looked like I was in the Christmas spirit, okay? So, let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll get into the sermon. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you so much, God, that we do have such an incredible family here in Auburn. And Father, thank you that we can enjoy just each other's company being here this morning, the fellowship that we have, seeing everybody yesterday and at the graduation. Father, really makes me feel like this is home because of the relationships we have. And thank you, God, for the series we've been doing on one another relationships. I pray, God, that we've just been able to learn from the scriptures, not just on Sunday, but really during the week as we study out how we should have relationships with one another in the body. And Father, we thank you so much for today. God, we just pray, God, that you be with all those that are already out of town visiting their families. I pray, God, that you would keep everybody close to you. God, I pray that you would really just not let keep Satan away from every single person who goes out of town and even everybody who stays in town. Father, that we can just be close to you. And Father, we love you and we thank you for this day. Thank you for this topic of forgiveness. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. And so to me, forgiveness has a lot to do with Christmas in a way. And you know, how many of you guys are going to see family for the holidays? You know, a lot of us going to see family. I'm going to be flying out. Marge and I are flying out on Wednesday, flying out of Atlanta. We're going to beautiful, sunny Southern California. And we're going to go to, we'll be in Long Beach and Riverside and all these fun places. But along with that, you know, I found myself in some conversations already with my family where it's really tested my forgiveness towards my family. And I don't know if any of you guys can relate to that, but sometimes going home brings up a lot of different emotions, right? And, you know, for me, it was just, you know, I had some conversations with my brother, and I had to really ask myself after those conversations, do I forgive him for how he just talked to me? And I really do, you know, that's something all of us deal with, I think, on a daily basis, whether it's Christmas going to see your family, whether it's the relationships that we have with each other. Forgiveness is such an important topic for us, and we'll see in a little bit here, because the Bible makes a big deal about forgiving one another. It really does. It makes a big deal. And so hopefully we'll see that through the scriptures today. So hopefully I'm not the only one who has the issues where I have to forgive people, right? Maybe you guys got this down, but I know I need to really learn all the time how to forgive, not just forgive on like my terms and what I think, but to really forgive the way Jesus forgave. And so that's what we're going to be talking about. So it isn't a real Christmassy subject, but you got the Christmas decorations to go with it. And so we'll just go on here. So let's look over in Matthew in chapter 18. It's a parable of the unmerciful servant. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20. It says, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times.' Jesus answered, 'I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times.'" Actually, when you go to the Greek on this, it doesn't say that. It actually says 70 times 7, or 7 times 70, okay? But somehow it got changed to 77 times. And so in verse 23 there, it says, "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him. canceled the debt and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me. I will pay it back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said. "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." And so it talks a lot, this is a whole story about forgiveness. It's a story about forgiveness. And so you got this this story of this master and the servant owes him a whole bunch of money, right? And the guy forgives him and says, "You know what, you don't have to pay this back. I forgive you of the debt that you owe." And then as soon as he goes out, the servant sees another guy that owes money to him. And he says, "You need to pay me back." And he does not forgive him. And it makes a statement at the end. It says, "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother and sister from your heart." And so the ending says that we have to forgive. We have to get good at forgiveness, or else we're going to get the same kind of treatment. You know, it said seven, we got to forgive in the first part. It says we got to forgive 70 times seven. And these are some important numbers, because if you look at the version that we all have, it says 77 times. Well, you may think, well, that caps it off at 77. So what I'm going to do is if Trey makes me mad 77 times, on the 78th time, I do not have to forgive Trey. I don't think that's what the Bible's saying. But the number seven is a very important number in the Bible. And just some of the things, I'm going to read through this a little bit here. Did you know this? That the number seven is used 735 times in the Bible. If you include sevenfold and you include seventh, you'll see it'll get up to 860 times the number seven is used in the Bible. And so what the number seven means is it means completeness and perfection, both spiritual and physical. It derives its meaning from being tied directly to God's creation of all things. According to Jewish tradition, the creation of Adam occurred on the 761 BC, or the first day of Tishri, which is the seventh month of the Hebrew calendar. The word created is used seven times describing God's creative work in Genesis. And so there's 7 days in a week, and God's Sabbath was on the seventh day. The Bible, did you know this? It was originally divided into seven major divisions, and you can read through there what they are. And so there's a lot of things in the Bible that kind of go with this number seven. It's a very important number, but the thing for us to remember is the number seven, it means completeness and it means perfection. The number 70 times 70. What that means is it means almost the same thing, representing perfection, and 10 represents completeness, okay? And so again, it means the same thing, and it symbolizes the perfect spiritual order carried out with all power. It can represent a period of also represent a period of judgment. In the Bible, there were 70 elders appointed to Moses in Numbers. After reading the covenant God gave him to read to the people, Moses took 70 elders along with Aaron and his sons up to Mount Sinai. ancient Israel spent a total of 70 years in captivity in Babylon. 70 is connected with Jerusalem. So when you go and study this out, you can find all these things. But 70 was a number that was used all the time throughout the Bible. But really, when you think of these two numbers, they mean perfection and they mean completeness. Okay? And so when you think about what does this mean that we need to forgive each other 7 times 70, okay? What you're really looking at there is 7 times 70 equals infinity. Okay, that's not our math, that's God's math. It says that basically completeness and perfection times completeness and perfection, what do you think that's going to equal? It's going to equal completeness and perfection. And so in our forgiveness to one another, we before God have to, for infinity, if Trey makes me mad on the 78th time, I still have to forgive him. If he makes me mad on the 1,000th time, on the 1 millionth time during our lifetime, I have an obligation before God to totally, and with all perfection and with all completeness, forgive him. And so we got to think about that, because I think forgiveness in our relationships is so important, because I run across people all the time that say, you know, it's just, I'm not like that, you know, or they'll bring up their childhood and they say, well, my family did this and whatever, so for me, I have a hard time forgiving. And all those things, there may be some truth as the reason why, but none of these, no excuse you can make up gives us the reason why it's okay to not forgive each other. And so in our forgiveness, we need to have this heart and this mindset that I'm going to forgive, and I'm going to forgive, and then I'm going to forgive again, and I'm going to forgive again, and then again, and again, and again. And throughout your lifetime, you're going to forgive people over and over and over and over. And why is this? Because when you think about it, we're just a bunch of messed up people that found God, right? None of us are perfect. I'm a messed up person. You know, we all have sin. We all have things that we do that hurt each other all the time. Now, in the world, when someone hurts you, what do? You just cut them off, right? I remember working in a place one time where these two Filipino ladies were working in my office. I don't know, that I love Filipinos. But they were working in my, two ladies were working in my office, and they were best friends. I mean, you would hear them speaking Tagalog back and forth, you know, all day long in that office. And all of a sudden, one day, I'm thinking, like, it got very quiet in here. Like, where's all the jabbering, you know, the going on? It's not, and it just completely stopped. And so I asked one of them, I said, what's going on between you and the other lady there? Oh, we got mad at each other, and so we're not talking to each other. And this went on for a long time. It wasn't just a day. It went on for a long time because in their hearts, they had not decided to forgive the other person. And they decided that it was better for them just to not to talk to each other. And that's the total opposite of what the Bible has telling us. It's saying that we've got to forgive infinity, for endless amount of times. And in our forgiveness, it's got to be complete and it's got to be perfect. It's not like I can forgive Trey with half my heart, but the other half still has a little issues with him. It's that when I look at Trey, I need to see someone there that I have no issues with. Look at that pretty smile. How could I have an issue with that? And somebody told me one time, they said, well, how do you know the people that you have a little bit of unforgiveness in your heart? And the person said, well, here's how. If you find yourself in fellowship, or in a room, like a party or something like that, with all these, you know, with everybody here, and you tend to stay away from one person, and you find yourself not talking to them for some unknown reason, you need to check your heart to see if you have some unforgiveness towards that person. Because sometimes we put it so far in the back of our mind, because it's like any other sin, we don't deal with our sins right away. And sometimes that lack of forgiveness, that unforgiveness, it gets pushed back a little bit more each time in our heart. And after a while, we don't even think, I forgive everybody. Well, yet I don't talk to that person, that person, that person, and that person. You know, and so I think that it's important that we know that forgiveness happens over and over to infinity. Amen? Amen. You know, what was happening in this story, okay? So there was this guy, you know, that owed a lot of money. It says, I think it was, let's go back to what it said. I think it was 10,000 bags of gold. I think it was. Yeah, 10,000 bags of gold. Now that's a lot of gold, right? Now what did the other guy, you know, so that was what he owed to the master. Let's look at what the other servant owed to this guy. And it was silver coins. It was 100 silver coins. Now Marge and I, Marge is in the jewelry business. I used to help her. We used to buy gold and we used to buy silver. And so there's a big difference in the amount of money you take. If somebody says, I got some silver for sale, versus I got gold for sale. The value of gold is so much higher than silver. And so I went through and I found people's calculations, and this is what I figured out from other people's calculations. They spent a lot of time in this, I didn't. But in equivalent in today's money, if we were thinking that this story happened today, the servant to his master, he owed that person, if you can read that number, $7.04 billion. That was a lot of money. That was a lot of money. You know how much the guy with the silver, when it was 100, those 100 silver coins, it was only $11,733.33. I don't know exactly how they came up with that, the 33 cents, but that's what they figured out. But you look at those numbers, wow, this is huge. Oh, that's right. I got a pointer. I never even knew it. Okay, this one's huge. Somebody just showed me that last week, and I was like, really? This number is huge. And so when the master said, I forgive you of this debt, man, you can imagine how excited he was. I mean, can you imagine having to pay back that? That's huge. And then he goes out and he sees this other person who owed him money. And that person really, not even, it was just a little teeny fraction, a little sliver of that number. And he could not forgive that person of that money. And I think what this story is about, it's about forgiveness, and it's really about how grateful and thankful we are to God for what he's done in our life. Your ability to forgive is a direct reflection of how grateful you are for what Jesus has done for you. Your ability to forgive, it's a direct reflection. And so when people say, I'm not a very good person, I'm not very good at forgiveness towards one another. You know, I there's that sister in my group, I just can't get along with that person. There's that brother in my group, he's done something really bad. And so, you know, we hear talking, and you know, you talk about people, and you hear, you know, these little attitudes coming out, and you just feel like, I can't forgive this person. I'm having such a hard time. What you're really saying is that you're not thankful for what Jesus has done for you when you don't forgive that person. Because when you look at those numbers again, that first number, and that number is can't even represent what Jesus has done for us in our life, right? Jesus has sacrificed everything for you and for me. And that's what he's done for us. That $11,000 right there, that's what your brother and sister does to you. And so if we're grateful for what we've been forgiven of, guess what? We're going to have a really, really easy time forgiving those around us, right? And so I'm going to repeat this again because I believe this is so important. Your ability to forgive is a direct reflection of how grateful you are for what Jesus has done for you. I want you to ask yourself this. How easy is it for you to forgive somebody else? How easy? Look back in the past year of your life. Think about the people that have done wrong to you. has it been extremely easy for you to forgive those people? Or have you been waiting for like, oh, that person hasn't said sorry to me, that person hasn't changed, or that person, whatever, they haven't done this, this, and this that equals my forgiveness? Because we have to ask ourselves those questions, because it's really a deeper lying issue. It's not that you struggle with forgiveness. It's more that you struggle with being grateful for what Jesus has done in your life. All of us, we need to get good at forgiveness, because we have been given and forgiven of so much in our lives. Think about your life before you were a Christian. Think about all the sin, all the things. Some, you know, when we study the Bible, we go through sin, and we talk about sin and the sin list and all those things. And I remember writing that list down. It was just for me to pray about. And I was writing a list of all my sin. I was going, Jesus is going to forgive me of all of this? No longer do I need to be burdened by sin in my life. I was fired up. But somehow over the years, we start losing that forgiveness sometimes. And we need to get back to that, really understanding how awesome Jesus is and what he's done for us in our life. That will make you and me a very forgiving person. Let's look in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. It says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. You know, there's a lot in this scripture. We could probably talk about this scripture the whole time, because there's so many different things it talks about in there. But the thing that really stands out to me is this, is that it says that we need to get rid of all bitterness. And then we also need to forgive. Have you ever noticed this? That bitterness and lack of forgiveness, they go hand in hand, right? Both of those, lack of forgiveness and bitterness, are partners in crime. Okay? And so we see in that scripture that when somebody says, I don't forgive that person, what they're really doing in their heart is they're building up this bitterness, this attitude towards the other person, okay? And so they always go hand in hand. So if you're having a hard time with forgiveness of someone, you also struggle with a bitter heart, okay? Because they just go hand in hand. They're partners in crime. And this scripture gives us amazing direction. It says that we need to forgive each other just as Christ forgave you. I mean, that we could talk about that for hours and hours, because when we think about what Jesus has done in your life and how much he's forgiven you, I mean, it's amazing. We need to forgive each other just as he forgave us. You know, and we've talked about this in the past, that Jesus forgave us even when we were sinners. He didn't wait for us to say, oh, I'm sorry. And then Jesus says, okay, because you said I'm sorry, I forgive you. That's not how Jesus works. Jesus forgave us even when we were sinning against him. Okay? But the lack of forgiveness and bitterness, they're partners in crime. They go hand in hand. And bitterness, as we know, it's not a good thing to have. It's not a good thing. Look over in Hebrews chapter 12.
Let's go, bro.
Because here's what bitterness can do to us. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, it says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. You know, it says there, it starts off, it says that we've got to make every effort. It doesn't say give 60% effort, give 80% effort. It doesn't say give 99.9 effort to resolving issues in your life and the bitterness that we have with one another. It says that we need to make every effort to make sure, and this goes along with all the things we've been learning in the one another relationship, right? It's all about we need to go after our relationships, because when we understand what Jesus has done for us, we get to enjoy these incredible relationships within the body. But we've got to always be giving, making every effort to live in peace with everyone. You know, ask yourself this: do I make every effort to get along with the people around me? Do I make every effort? You know, think about your house church that you're a part of. You know, a lot of us break up in house churches during the week and we have house church together. Is there someone in that group that you feel like you haven't made every effort in going after that relationship? That's what the Bible calls us to do. And then it says, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble. We got to make sure there's no bitter. It describes bitterness as being like this root, okay? And so when you think about roots, you know, here's this guy. I don't know. I love living in Auburn, but it seems like during the summer, I got to cut my lawn a lot, because it's not that my grass grows, but my weeds on my grass seem to grow really, really fast, right? And so, you know, you got to keep, sometimes we think, well, that weed is just, if I just chop it off at the top, that's going to kill the weed. And it just doesn't do it. We look at this here, it says, you know, the root of bitterness. This guy, he's trying to pull this weed out, but look what's under the ground. It's got all these roots that are all over the place, digging itself in. So even if he tries pulling the top off that weed, the weed's going to pop right back up, because it's the bitterness, the roots are very deep. And bitterness in our hearts can go very, very deep towards one another if we don't deal with them. It doesn't do any good to just go and cut the top off that weed. What you got to do is you got to dig up the whole root system. You know, and some of us, we allow in our relationships, we allow ourselves to get so bitter that you think about in your heart, those weeds are just everywhere and you're not letting go of them and they're still in there. And so you may make little changes here and there and say, I'm going to forgive that person. I'm just going to kind of put on a show today and be nice to them. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is that we need to get rid of the bitter root system we got that comes from the lack of forgiveness. We need to get rid of those roots that really kill us. And we think about what that scripture just said. That scripture said the lack of forgiveness is going to do a few different things. The first thing it's going to do, it says it'll lead to us falling short of God's grace. Okay? That's back in Hebrews 12, 14 and 15. Well, what does that mean? I'm going to fall short of God's grace. And I try thinking, but what does this mean? The only time I know that a person can fall short of the grace is when they're not connected anymore to Christ. Yeah. Because when you're in a relationship with Jesus, you'll even sin and you'll stay within that realm of grace, right? But it says somehow, some way, that when we allow this deep bitterness to take place in our heart, we can get to the point where we lose our relationship with God. I don't want that. Next thing it says, lack of forgiveness, what it does is it says it causes trouble. You know, I mean, it just makes sense, right? When we have bitterness and we're not forgiving each other, it never really produces great relationships. It never really produces tight family like the Bible talks about. What it does is it does the opposite. It works against what we're all trying to do, building a family. It causes trouble in our lives. And then the last thing, what it does, it says it defiles many. Defiles many. Now, I think what's interesting about that is sometimes we think that because I don't forgive that person, that's just me. You know, this sin, it doesn't really affect anybody else. It's just me. I'm the one that's having a hard time forgiving this person. I'm the one who's not being grateful for what Jesus has done. But that's just something I need to deal with. It doesn't really affect anyone around me. What the scripture says here is that those weeds start defiling, those roots, that bitter root starts defiling many. And when you think about what defile means, in the Greek, it means to stain, pollute, or to corrupt. So you think about that. Our unforgiving towards a person, unforgiveness towards a person, will lead to our hearts getting bitter. And that bitterness doesn't stay with me. What it does, it affects the whole entire church. You know, this week, I'm going to beautiful Los Angeles. Now look at that picture. Wouldn't you want to be there right now? I mean, you look at that. There's like beautiful buildings and the snow behind it. Oh, it's incredible, right? That picture is awesome. This is more what I know of beautiful Los Angeles. This is the 405 freeway, and the 405, no, this is the 110 freeway. I'm sorry, I haven't been there a while. This is the 110 freeway, and the 110 freeway, it takes you right through downtown Los Angeles. And Marge and I, you know, Marge is in the jewelry business, and she was, and we used to go to the jewelry district downtown, and we'd make this trip a few times a week going down to downtown LA. And I remember this, most of the time going into downtown LA, this is not like somebody photoshopped this picture. This is exactly what it looks like. You're about a mile away from the city, and you can't hardly see the buildings, right? And where did the beautiful mountain range go? Where's the snow? Where? It's all polluted. That pollution. And it's not like the pollution is just in one place. If you move over, you know, a mile from there, the pollution's still there. The pollution, once it goes there, it just starts spreading around that city. And see, LA is kind of funny because it has a mountain range kind of around it. And so all that pollution kind of stays in that area. And it really affects the quality of life in that area. And so this is our church. When we're spiritual, this is our church. When we're all building family and we're all growing together and being close to God and we're loving each other and we're forgiving each other and there's no bitterness that's going on in our hearts. This is what happens to us when the bitterness, it says, it defiles many. This is what happens within our church. We pollute the air that we breathe in this room, yeah, in beautiful Auburn. Because when we don't forgive people and we get that bitterness and those roots run deep, it affects a lot of people. And we need to make sure that this is something that we really go after changing in our life. I hope that you don't walk out of this. And why'd I do this right before Christmas? Because I know for myself, I got forgiveness things I need to work on even to holiday season. We're going to be starting a brand new year here in 2015. We got incredible plans, incredible dreams, what we want to see the church do next year. But if we go into the new year and we finish our year holding on to this bitter root that causes the pollution, yep, to go on in the church, we won't have a good 2015. We'll all be fighting just to stay afloat. That's no fun. This is the way. Now, that only happens in LA, just a side note. That was probably taken on Christmas Day, or it was on Thanksgiving. It was when all these businesses are shut down. That's what LA will look like. But on a normal day when all the businesses are going, it really does look like that. But we got to make sure that we get this pollution out of our church. Amen. We got to get rid of the bitterness. And I'm not saying everybody's bitter, but I do know from just being around the church for many, many years that this is something a lot of people struggle with. Yeah. And a lot of us have made up excuses as to why it's okay that I'm a bitter person and why it's okay that I don't forgive people. Yeah. This is not okay in the church. Another scripture about bitterness. Now, So this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. It says, another reason I wrote you was to see if you would stand the test and be obedient in everything. Anyone you forgive, I also forgive. So Paul's talking here to somebody about forgiveness. He says, anyone you forgive, I also forgive. And what I have forgiven, if there is anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not aware of his schemes. You know, this talks about, he's talking to this, he says, well, if you forgive somebody, I'm going to forgive them too. I don't even really know if there's anything to forgive, but I'm going to choose to forgive them. But he says there, that he says that we don't want Satan to outwit us. You know, I think sometimes we forget we're in a spiritual battle.
Yeah, that's right.
Satan is always, he's got these big, big schemes for our life.
Right.
And one of the biggest schemes is Satan's top rank scheme is unforgiveness. Mm-hmm. See, a lot of other things are very outward that we do, right? So if you go rob a bank, we know that you're probably not right with God. Right? That's very easy to see that, you know, if we see on the news today that, you know, Mike McGinnis, he's on the front headlines, robbed the Auburn Bank. Okay, we know that there's something wrong with Mike and he needs some serious help. That's not Mike though. Maybe in his past life, but not now. But Satan's scheme is he's not going to do the obvious things. He's not going to put your name on the front page of the newspaper for what you've done wrong. What he's going to do is he's going to dig into that heart of yours, and he's going to get that unforgiveness and that bitterness to really dig in deep. And nobody around you is even going to know what's going on. And sometimes you won't even be in contact with what's really going on in your heart. But over time, that's Satan's biggest scheme. Over time, that thing is going to take you away from your relationship with God. And we got to remember, we are in a spiritual battle. We are. We don't see it because we look at all the physical things, but we are in a very much a physical battle. And we need to be aware of that. That if you have even a little bit of unforgiveness in your heart, if you don't forgive someone totally in completeness right now, then what you're doing is you're allowing Satan to really take over and use his biggest plan, his biggest scheme to take you down. He's doing that right now, and we need to deal with that because we need to protect ourselves against Satan. And the only way to do that is to live in righteousness. So Satan's top rack scheme is unforgiveness. A couple more scriptures there. James 3. You guys get a lot from studying the Bible about these different subjects. There's so much in there. So this one says in James 3:13, it says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy, now this is not bitterness maybe, but still bitterness. Yeah. It's saying if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly and spiritual of the devil. It says here that when we have any kind of bitterness, I don't think it's just, you know, that, you know, bitter envy. I think it can be bitterness from lack of forgiveness. Whenever any kind of bitterness that you have in your heart, it's not of God, it's of the devil. And we need to kick that out of there because that's not where all, I mean, I don't think you show up for Sunday at church to be like the devil. You know, I assume all of us want to be like Jesus, and we want to get that stuff out of there because it's very unhealthy to not just you, but it's unhealthy to the whole church. It pollutes the rest of the church. And so it says there that we harbor bitter envy. We harbor bitterness. Now, what does that mean to harbor something? Well, this is what it means. When something is harbored, that's the SS bitterness, by the way. When something is harbored, it means that we are attached to it. We're tied to it.
Wow.
That ship is not going anywhere as long as it's tied to that dock.
Wow.
And so when we, like the ship is the bitterness, if we allow, sometimes we think, well, it's not, I don't really deal with bitterness and I don't deal with unforgiveness. But sometimes we just have it tied to our heart. And we're walking around with it there and we're not dealing with it. It's tied to us. The only way I know is to get rid of that bitterness is you've got to cut those ropes that hold the bitterness in your heart. You got to cut the ropes that hold the bitterness in your heart. And we got to deal and we got to talk to the people. We got to talk to Jesus. We got to deal with that lack of forgiveness. And we got to talk about it, because otherwise we'll be tied down to that bitterness in our life. And we don't want that. We want to be the opposite. We want to live Christians as free, right? That's what the Bible talks about, is that we get to live a free life. It doesn't mean you get to do everything you want to do. But what it means is that I get to live without this sin just holding me down. And it's the bitterness is the worst kind of sin, because it just spreads this root system that really takes me down. And we just need to cut those lines and not be harbored to the bitterness any longer. Here's what we need to do, and this will be the last scripture. 1 Peter in 4 verse 8, it says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. We need to love each other. We need to love each other deeply. That's what we need to do. Love is the antidote to our bitterness and our unforgiveness. It is. When you think about that, who's the one that we look at as the example, the one that we need to be grateful for how much he's done in our life? We think about Jesus. And he loved us so much that it allows us to live the life that we live today in freedom. You know, but when we think about each other, we need to do that same, we need to pass that same thing on to them. We need to love. We need to love each other deeply. And when you love each other deeply, you deal with the people that you don't forgive. You talk to them. You ask and you beg and you plead for forgiveness from them, because you've let this thing sit in your heart for a while. Yeah. It's not them that needs to be apologizing, it's you. Yeah. And we do that though only when we really truly love. And we really only do that when we truly, really love Jesus. Yeah. And so when we think about forgiveness, we've got to forgive each other 7 times 70. So whether you're going home on family vacation for the holidays and there's someone there in your family you have a hard time forgiving, you need to do it over and over and over and over and over. It never stops. When we come back, or for the weeks going through the holidays, let's have a great, happy holiday season. Let's forgive each other of everything. The big things, the small things, the medium things, let's just have a plan that I'm going to forgive anybody who does something wrong against me. Amen. And I'm going to do that over and over and over. Love is what allows us to have complete and perfect forgiveness. The only way that you can have true forgiveness is if you love. Love is what's going to make the difference. So let's really have a holiday season where we don't have to be bogged down by this root of bitterness. You know, let's really dream even for about 2015, for this next year coming up. There's going to be God's going to do a lot of amazing, he's already done a lot of amazing things this last year, and I'm just fired up for what God has done in this church. That's right. But I just think about, well, look at what he started. Look at, you know, where's he going to take it next? God's going to do so many incredible things. Let's make sure that we don't allow our bitterness in our heart to really stop that. And let's really make sure that all of us can really have free and just great relationships with each other starting this new year. And so I want to challenge you, if there's somebody in this room that you feel like I just a little teeny bit, maybe it's a lot, but I think a lot of us would say there's somebody that just kind of rubs me the wrong way just a little bit, I want you to go and talk to that person before the day's over. I want you to go to them, and I want you to go to them and say, brother, sister, please forgive me, because I've allowed my lack of forgiveness to turn into bitterness in my heart, and I am so sorry for what I've done. If you do that to somebody else, you know what their response is going to be? I'm sorry too, and it's gonna work out. Okay? So let's really think about that. That's important going into the new year and into the holidays. Let's forgive each other, you know. And last thing is, I just want to say Merry Christmas to all of you. And that was a snowman I built out in my backyard the other day in Auburn. But I just want to say thank you so much. Marge and I are just so much in love with this church. We love each and every one of you. And we think about, you know, what do I want for Christmas this year? I think I've already got it. I've already got you guys as our family, and we feel like this is home for us. And we so much appreciate you allowing us to be a part of your life over these past 8 or 9 months, or we've lost track already, because we're just enjoying being with all of you. And so I just want to wish you all a very happy and merry Christmas, and really let this be a time that you celebrate Jesus, and not a time that we get into bitter, ugly fights with family and stuff like that. Let's really celebrate Jesus for what he's done in our lives. And it's going to be an incredible new year. So I just want to thank you guys for what you've already done and how much you really pulled us in. And so Merry Christmas.